Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Hickey, what do we got?
Let's go to the last game on Sunday first. Zach, the Cowboys sent a strong message, shutting out the Giants 40-0 in the biggest shutout victory in franchise history. Now, Dallas's defense and special teams had a hell of a night. They recorded one blocked field goal, two touchdowns, two interceptions, one forced fumble, and sacked Daniel Jones 7 times. If that ain't dominant, I don't know what is. Onsides or offsides, the Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender.
So I think this answer is going to surprise you, Hickey. I'm going to say onsides. Now, this doesn't mean that I believe in the Cowboys. But the question is, are the Cowboys a Super Bowl contender? Yeah, they are. Because of that defense. Now, I still doubt Dak Prescott's going to get the job done consistently on a big stage. But you have the Eagles and the 49ers as the two best teams in the NFC. If you're just looking at who's going to be the third best team in the NFC, I know Dallas last 2 years, 12-win season, choking the playoffs against the Niners. But with that defense, if that could just be an above average player in the postseason, they would have won both those games against the Niners, or at least the one last year. So even though I don't believe week in and week out in a big game in the Cowboys, who else are we really going with in the NFC? And if you tell me it's only two teams, you got to throw a third or a fourth team in there in the conversation to get to a Super Bowl contender, right?
I would still say no right now because the defensive effort's not surprising.
No, the defense is championship caliber. We knew that.
Right. So that's like, it's like, we didn't see anything last time we didn't already know. And that's where, at least for right now, after one game, why I'm not going all in on Dallas.
But would you agree the Cowboys on paper are better this year than they were last year? Would you agree with that?
I mean, they brought Brandon Cooks in. I like that. That's a good addition if he's healthy.
Michael Gallup now healthy. You have Stephon Gilmore added to that defense. You also have another year of Micah Parsons, who we all know is a stud. Trayvon Diggs now getting some more experience, and we know he's been a very good player the last 2 years. And then also, Tony Pollard now. There's no more Ezekiel Elliott. And we all knew that Tony Pollard was the better back the last 2 years. So I think this is a better team than last year. Like, don't get this twisted. I'm not telling you I expect the Cowboys to be in a Super Bowl, but to contend in the NFC, they're right there. Now, in a big game, sure, I trust the 49ers. I trust the Eagles more. But if it's not the 49ers and the Eagles, who's the team you're going with?
Today, right now, I'd still go Detroit.
I need to see more out of Detroit. I've seen the last 2 years Dallas be right there. So, okay, you could go with Detroit. It's your answer. And once again, I'm not believing in Dallas. I'll say it for the 8th time. But if you're just saying who else is going to contend, And not a lot of teams in the NFC that really scare you. And that defense can go win a playoff game 16-10 or something like that. And we've seen some offenses before not shine and still find the way to get to a Super Bowl because of how great the defense is. All right, next question.
Let's flip over to some college football. As history did occur on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa as Texas went down and beat Alabama 34-24.
Hold on. Sam Ellinger style? We're back. Look at the Longhorns, baby.
Big win. Big win.
Brian Jones throwing a fiesta, probably.
Oh, he is fired up, I'm sure. Fired up for his quarterback's performance, Quinn Ewers, who became the first non-SEC quarterback to throw for at least 250 yards and two passing touchdowns at Bryant-Denny Stadium in the Nick Saban era. And it was the first non-conference loss for Bama since 2007. Georgia Southern had that last defeat of the Crimson Tide as a non-SEC opponent. Insane. Absolutely insane. Now looking ahead, after a week two loss, the Crimson Tide do have a challenging schedule. Still have to face three more ranked SEC teams, although all three of those teams do come at home. Onsides or offsides?
And also have warts, too.
That's also true. Onsides or offsides? Alabama at least will have three losses this season.
So they already have one, so that means they need two more. They play South Florida this weekend. That's a win. You play Ole Miss. Ole Miss has a better offense, I would say. But defensively, can they stop Alabama? Now, there's questions about the Alabama offense. Mississippi State, A&M, they stink. They have so much talent, but Jimbo Fisher just can't get out of his own way. I like Arkansas's quarterback, KJ Jefferson. Man, you know who dodged a major bullet this weekend? Tennessee. I know the final score doesn't reflect it, but that game was ugly for a while. LSU, I think, is a better team. Kentucky, Chattanooga, Auburn. I think there's three losses in there. I do. Bare minimum, two more losses. Probably going to be there on the schedule. They'll still be a top 25 team. I'll still disagree with you when Hickey said before the year that Alabama will finish outside of the top 25, right? Is that what you're top 15?
15, which 9-3. You're knocking on that door.
Yeah, but if you have three losses in your Alabama, you'll still be there. You'll still be the top 15.
That's part of it, you know? No good wins.
But they'll still be there. You know how that always works. It's all the name recognition in college
football. They're at 10 now. Keep losing. Keep on sinking.
See, I'm surprised that you're this giddy about this. Because you don't believe in Texas.
No, but for one game, I thought the matchup was better. I've been more of just banging on Alabama this season, and I was frustrated no one else saw what I was seeing. And it got proven right in week two. I'm not a Texas honk. I'm still not picking them to win the Big 12.
I did.
But in this game, it's a non-conference game. I get it. But this, at least they played well in a big game for you to feel good about your prediction. Because they're going to need to win multiple big games this year in order to win the conference.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll answer your question. Alabama will have at least three losses this season. I'll say onsides. I'll say they'll have three losses. Two things from this game. My two takeaways from this game. If it just focused on one on Alabama and then the other on Texas. The Alabama part, with the transfer portal, with NIL, and then for years, like, Nick Saban did not have a great quarterback, but then he got on this run of, you had Jalen Hurts, who was very good, and I know eventually got replaced by Tua Tagovailoa, who was great. Right? You had Mac Jones, who was a finalist for a Heisman, played great. You had Bryce Young, played great, was a number one overall pick. It's kind of crazy that this is what the Alabama quarterback situation turned into. Where, yes, Jalen Milroe was on the roster. And, right, they bring in Buckner out of nowhere, too. It's in this transfer portal era and the brand of Alabama and who Nick Saban is. And also, I know that you had the whole NIL thing and he was basically begging for more NIL money. But it's still Alabama with the whole Jimbo Fisher fight from a year ago. And there was a reason why I did that at a small business conference. It's kind of crazy now, since there is football free agency, Hickey, that Nick Saban doesn't have a better quarterback, and they had three quarterbacks, and you know when you have three quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks, and you could tell how agitated he was before the season. I know he's always chippy with the media, but specifically with the quarterback, showed you that he didn't really believe in the quarterbacks before the year.
And I think it was one of those things where he thought maybe going into spring that his quarterbacks would play better than they did, and you missed the first transfer window where most good quarterbacks that are in the portal left because they want to get into spring ball with a new team. And so then all of a sudden you realize, oh boy, these guys are not good. And then it's like after the spring games when that second portal window opens and you're like, well, all the good quarterbacks are already gone.
Yeah.
We'll take Notre Dame's backup guy and see what happens. And he's not even
but put it this way.
Made an impact.
Spencer Sanders transferred from Oklahoma State to Ole Miss. And Jackson Dart's already on Ole Miss. Imagine if Alabama had Spencer Sanders this year. Just that name right there comes to mind, who's in the SEC right now at Ole Miss as the backup quarterback. Still playing a little bit.
It's very rare to say this. Save and miss one.
He did. He messed up. Now, here's my Texas takeaway. I'm kind of kidding with the whole we're back thing. Just I love the Sam Ellinger clip. For Texas and Florida State, no excuses now to go make the college football playoff. Because before the year, I had Texas winning the Big 12 but not making the college football playoff, and Florida State winning the ACC and not making the college football playoff. Both those schools now have two wins up against SEC schools. When you look at Florida State obliterating LSU and then Texas beating Alabama by 10 points, you better go take care of business the rest of the way. Because now anything short of a college football playoff berth this year for Texas and Florida State with what they've done early in the season would be a disappointment. Next question.
All right, back
to the
NFL.
Sound like Drew Rosenhaus there for a second. Next question. Where's T.O. in the driveway? Do the sit-ups.
Good times. Let's put a cap on week number one with tonight's matchup. Bills-Jets, the long-awaited debut of Aaron Rodgers in a New York Jets uniform. Not only is it his debut, but it's also a clash in the AFC East of old versus maybe new. Buffalo, since the Patriots and Tom Brady left, have been now the class of the AFC East, winning the division the last 3 years, while the Jets, now led by Aaron Rodgers, look to capture their first division crown since 2002. Oof. In this game, Bills on the road, 2-point road favorites. Onsides or offsides, Zach? The Bills will beat the Jets and cover the 2-point spread.
I actually like the Jets in the game tonight, and if weather's going to play a factor, I trust the Jets' run game more than I do the Buffalo Bills' run game. So you asked me the Bills will beat the Jets to cover the 2-point spread. I think the Jets are winning the game outright tonight, so I will go offside.
Offside!
On Sunday, the Baltimore Ravens debuted a brand new offense, and it was a mixed bag, to say the least. Lamar Jackson did complete 17 of his 22 passes, but just for 169 yards, did turn the ball over twice. Now, Zay Flowers was a bright spot for this offense, receiving or hauling in, I should say, 9 passes for 78 yards. Also, new target, Odell Beckham Jr., 2 catches on the day. Rough injury news here is J.K. Dobbins. It is confirmed he did tear his Achilles, which means, unfortunately, he's out for the year again.
Which is terrible when anyone tears their Achilles, but this is also someone that in 2021 had a torn ACL. Just terrible luck for someone that was appearing to be a young, promising player in this league, and now you just wonder, how is his body going to be able to hold up? And you feel as if, unfortunately, injuries are going to derail his career. It sucks to say it, but it's just the truth.
You're right. Two now season-ending injuries in the last 3 years. It's definitely sad for sure. And in this game, even though the Ravens won 25-9, Texans actually outgained Baltimore. So onside or offside, Zach, you were concerned about the Ravens' offense.
Yeah, I am, and here's why. Going into this year, you knew what the potential was of this offense if everyone could stay healthy. And through 1 week, you already have a big loss at the running back position with the J.K. Dobbins injury. Sure, Justice Hill could come off the bench and go get you 2 touchdowns running the football, but you're right. I still don't know how it's going to work out. I know they're putting more of an emphasis on throwing the football. It just does not add up to me in where I'm going to believe in this football team this year. And for a while, like that first half, at the end of the first half, it was 7-6. I know it's week one and, you know, and the whole preseason stuff and all that. I know we all talk about this Ravens preseason win streak and all that jazz, and there's some sloppiness that does occur, but that was really sloppy a first half up against a dreadful Texans team. So I am concerned about this Ravens offense, and the biggest part is you have a lot of guys that were injured that are coming back from injuries, and the injuries are still a concern. So I'll go on sides on that.
And finally, plenty of quarterbacks made debuts to their new teams on Sunday. Baker Mayfield had a few clutch throws in Tampa's 2017 win over the Vikings, while Derek Carr did squeak out a home victory over the Titans. It was a grind for the Commanders, but Sam Howell did have a big rushing touchdown in their win over the Cardinals. And Jimmy G threw 2 TD passes in a win, on the road over the Broncos. So I'll ask you this, onsides or offsides? Of those quarterbacks we just talked about, Jimmy G, Sam Howell, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Baker had the most impressive week one performance.
Just out of those quarterbacks.
Yes.
So that's Derek Carr, That's Sam Howell and Jimmy G. Whew. So I'm between Jimmy G and Baker Mayfield on this one. And if you ask me which quarterback, and I'm not a big Jimmy G fan, I would trust more heading into this weekend. It would have been Jimmy G over Baker. Yeah, I do think it's Baker because it's one thing to play the way that he did, but it's another thing to win over that locker room. And talking to some of those Buccaneers players yesterday after the game through Ion Football, and then also in other conversations, there's a genuine belief in Baker Mayfield. I still don't trust that team. I still believe the Falcons are going to win that division. But out of those quarterbacks specifically that you mentioned, I would go on sides that Baker Mayfield had the most impressive week one performance out of the quarterbacks of Derek Carr made a big throw late, Sam Howell. But you look at the opponent, it was the Cardinals. And then Jimmy Garoppolo. It was between Jimmy G and Baker. But yeah, I would go with Baker Mayfield in that one just because I had lower expectations for Baker than I did for Jimmy G. So on sides. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio, each and every Monday in the NFL season. We'll talk to Nick Costos, who does a great job. We debut that segment next.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Going to be fired up in football season to be talking to my next guest all throughout the year. He is the superstar at You Better You Bet. And, of course, does a great job Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern across the BetQL network. And make sure you get the BetMGM app today. Now you are winning with the king of sportsbooks. Please gamble responsibly. And that is the always talented Nick Costos. Nick, how you been?
Zach, what's going on, man? Great to be on with you. Happy football season to you and your listeners. Doing this right now live from Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. So what better place to be for week number one? I guess I could be at the game, which would be fun also for the Jets and the Bills. But great to be on with you, brother.
Please, you want to be in rainy New York and the New Jersey area when you could be in Vegas and be 3 hours behind and having wonderful food and drinks? I'd much rather have that right now.
I did say to my co-host on You Better You Bet, who I know you've had on the show before as well, Ken Barkley.
Yeah, love Ken.
I actually think, this is, might sound crazy, I think I prefer like Eastern time to Pacific time, even though like, you know, hashtag East Coast problems, like we're up super late, especially during like playoff season in the NBA and the NHL. I actually think I prefer it though. Like it's weird that it's 4:20, 4:21 right now, and like the football game's like starting in a little bit.
Let me ask you this though, because I know you're a big Giant fan. Before we get into the game tonight, night between the Bills and the New York Jets. How did you react to that debacle yesterday?
Well, you know, like, I grew up, Zach, as just, like, as diehard a Giants fan as you could possibly imagine. Like, the Giants winning or losing on a Sunday or a Monday would basically, like, determine my mood for the week. But as I've gotten a little older, like, I worked at NFL Radio at Sirius for a while, and, like, you know players in the league and, like, coaches and, like, PR staffs, and now, like, betting for 20 years and doing You Better You Bet, I've kind of become numb to it. Honestly, like, I had a small bet on the Giants last night. The bet obviously lost. It, like, never had a chance. I lost 0 seconds of sleep, and I'm not going to overreact also. Like, the Giants should be able to win on Sunday on the road in Arizona. I actually think the line's going to move a little bit towards Arizona, Zach, and that'll be an interesting conversation a little later in the week. But, like, as far as, like, losing sleep over, like, the Giants losing, like, I'm good. I'm good on that.
So I always figure out what bet I'm going to place for the Monday Night Football game when Sunday Night Football is wrapping up, as Nick Costas is here with us. And for some reason, last night, I ended up going with a parlay for tonight. Anytime touchdown, same game parlay of Stephon Diggs and then also Garrett Wilson. The odds are at plus 400. Now you have all these weather concerns. We'll see how it plays a factor in the game tonight. What do you think of that bet going anytime touchdown with Stephon Diggs and Garrett Wilson at plus 400?
Well, I think if you are going to take, like, any two players in the game, like, maybe you'd want to put Josh Allen in there just because, like, I know people are really excited about James Cook this year in fantasy football. Also, like, Josh Allen doesn't really throw to the running back, and when they're down by the goal line, like, he's the one that usually tries to carry it in. So maybe, like, James Cook can be decent. I just don't really necessarily see it the way some do. So I think Allen would maybe have been my first choice. But look, like, you went with two all-pro caliber receivers, the number one wide receiver on each team with Wilson and Diggs. When I play anytime touchdowns, and look, like, if you win the bet, it's like, who cares? Like, you win. I'm generally going a little bit farther down the board. I've got one wacky anytime touchdown play for tonight, which maybe we can go over in a little bit, but, like, I don't hate your plays at all. The best receiver on the Jets, the best receiver on the Bills, and look, we saw Jalen Hyatt, like, cook Sauce Gardner in a preseason game. Like, Diggs can certainly get his against Sauce.
And the way that I look at it, at plus 400, I just feel like it's too good to be true, so that means that neither player will score a touchdown tonight, and this will be like a 6-3 game, probably.
Well, look, man, I bet Texas Tech +6.5 against Oregon on Saturday. It closed 4, and I lost on a pick 6 in the final minute, so I'm with you, man.
What's your worst beat of all time?
Of all time? I mean, like, there are beats. You know what?
Or just one that comes to mind, Nick.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like the one that comes to mind because I lost the most money on it. I had the Falcons big and the under big in Super Bowl 51 against the Patriots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and, like, not only do, like, the Falcons, like, the game goes to overtime, and it's like, can the Patriots just win by 3? And, of course, like, they score a touchdown and win 34-28. Game goes over the total. I lose everything. That's the worst one in terms of money, but, like, I mean, how about, like, yesterday? We had the Colts yesterday to cover against Jacksonville. Second and goal at the one. Like, we literally have, like, pick one quarterback in the NFL not named Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, I guess, like, to sneak the ball in to score a touchdown and backdoor a spread. It's like the tank, Anthony Richardson. He's got to come out. Here comes Gardner Minshew. 3 cracks at it. Can't score a touchdown. Jacksonville ends up covering the spread. Man, there are bad beats around every corner if you bet enough and have been betting for long enough.
Well, I was on the other side of that, so I'm happy that it won.
What a jerk. What a jerk, man.
Nick Costos. Jeez Louise. I was shocked that I ended up winning in that game because you're exactly right. When they got inside the goal line, originally they were down by, down by 4 Jacksonville. They end up going by 10. I'm like, okay, they're going to win. And then you see the Colts drive, and I go, oh, this has no chance of covering. And it did. So it happens. You win more than I win. Let's be real.
I mean, well, maybe that's true. I mean, listen, you know, it's kind of how it goes, right? I also had the Titans yesterday against the Saints, +3.5. And at the end of the game, like, Saints are up by 1. They get the big conversion down the field, the big play to Rashid Shaheed. And I'm thinking, like, oh, my God, like, I'm going to lose by 4, and I'm going to lose this bet in, like, unbelievably soul-crushing fashion. And then we got, like, you need to thread a needle sometimes as bettors where you're thinking about, like, what do you need at the end of the game? I needed Saints first down, but no touchdown to run out the clock. And I did get it. So, like, it doesn't always go against you. So I was able to get that one. But the Colts one was pretty tough against Jacksonville.
We'll get to the game tonight in just a second. Nick Costas here with us. Going to join us each and every Monday in football season right here at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific on the Zach Gelb Show. What was your biggest surprise from yesterday, Nick?
You said surprise from yesterday, right? You cut out for a second.
Yeah, biggest surprise.
Honestly, it's the Seattle Seahawks and, like, how terrible they looked against the Los Angeles Rams. And Zach, just because, like, the betting market, like, really leans away. It doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen, but it is worth noting that, like, Cooper Kupp is ruled outright and placed on IR by the Rams. And you'd think, okay, like, bettors are gonna push Seattle up as a bigger favorite at home. It was actually the opposite. Like, the Rams got bet, like, pretty hard by professional bettors, and then the Rams go out there in Seattle and they win the game 30-13. And honestly, like, I watched the game. Like, it actually should have been more of a blowout than it was. That's how bad Seattle played. And that kind of takes us, Zach, into this week's game against the Lions, where Seattle might be without their starting two tackles, and they're going to apparently sign Jason Peters, 40, older than me, and I'm old, 41 years old, to the practice squad. Like, going into Detroit off extra rest, right, playing last Thursday night in the opener against Kansas City, against Aiden Hutchinson, and that pass rush with how bad Seattle looked yesterday. Zach, we bet the Lions already, my co-host Ken Barkley and I actually think this line could close 7. It's 6 right now. If you could find a 5.5, bet a 6. I like the Lions coming up on Sunday against Seattle. I'm worried about the Seahawks, and I'm not trying to overreact to one game. That was alarming what we saw yesterday against the LA Rams.
What is your play tonight on the spread? The Bills are a 2.5-point favorite. You know that building in the swamps of Jersey, MetLife Stadium, which is one of the worst stadiums in the league, is going to be rocking with Aaron Rodgers. Your play on this game on the spread is what?
Yeah, I call it the Death Star. It's all gray. It's like, it's absolutely terrible. If I had to bet the full spread of the game, I guess like maybe like a lean towards Buffalo. But my preferred play, and Zach, we talk about this a lot on You Better You Bet. It's been a pretty profitable strategy. It does not mean that it's a guarantee. There are times that it loses, or like otherwise, like everyone would know about it and you wouldn't even be able to bet it, right? And that is home underdog on Monday Night Football in the first half. And especially in this game, right? And we were talking about this on the show today. There's a chance that this is, like, quite literally the biggest home opener in the history of the New York Jets franchise. Like, maybe you can make a case for 99, like, coming off the AFC title game appearance with Parcells and Vinny Testaverde, and Vinny tears his ACL in that game. Like, this is probably, like, the biggest home opener in Jets history. The crowd's going to be going absolutely nuts, and the Jets are plus a half in the first 30 minutes of the game. So, like, a tie, you win. Like, you, if it's 10-10 at halftime, you cash that bet. Jets winning at halftime, you cash that bet. Now, over the course of 60 minutes, maybe Buffalo, the better team, maybe Buffalo ends up winning out. That I don't feel as confident in, but this is a trend that we play all the time early in the season. Let's play the Jets, Zach, in the first half, plus a half here at home against Buffalo.
What was this secret anytime touchdown that you liked in this game tonight, that you were teasing?
So there is a player formerly known, it's always good, like, this is how wacky the anytime touchdown prop is, that it's a player who changed his name. That is Deontay Hardy, formerly Deontay Harris, who's been playing in preseason and in training camp as the Bills' starting slot receiver. Like, I know that they drafted Dalton Kincaid in the first round. You'll see him a little bit in the slot. They signed Trent Sherfield. He generally plays on the outside. Khalil Shakir is on, like, a milk carton now. He had played in the slot a little bit last year for Buffalo. Deontay Hardy, like, is going to be playing, like, a decent amount for the Bills of preseason and training camp, like will show us, give us any idea of what's going to happen here. How about Deontay Hardy anytime touchdown tonight here for the Buffalo Bills? I am looking at BetMGM, that number plus 700. So again, it's plus 700 for a reason, not extremely likely to happen. You bet Diggs and Garrett Wilson, that's obviously more likely, but Hardy plus 700 here for beer or pizza money anytime touchdown bet for tonight.
Love it, love it, love it. Before we let you run, if memory serves me right, don't you have a special song for Brandon Ayuk?
Do I have, what, like, Ayuk is on fire?
Yeah.
Did I do that once with you?
Right?
I don't do that
all
the time.
That's not your signature song?
I probably, like, came on and did it once with you, but maybe not, actually. When you asked, I was like, what else could it be other than Ayuk is on fire?
For some reason yesterday, when I see Brandon Ayuk going 8 receptions, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and sticking it to the Steelers, every time he scores now, I think of that song. I remember one Sunday morning, as I was waiting to get on the air, you singing that song. Now, I don't think it was Ken Barkley. You know, if someone's going to sing that song, it's going to be you.
It would be me. That's right.
You're forever, like, engraved in my brain when Brandon Ayuk scores.
Now, we got a new song for this year.
Yeah.
Are you a Justin Timberlake fan?
I could dabble in a little JT.
I would hope so. He's pretty awesome. My favorite Justin Timberlake song featuring T.I. is My Love. Now, we will do the remix here for Jordan Love, basically. No other player going to take your spot, Jordan Love, so I'm going to bet on Jordan Love, etc. Because we bet the Packers yesterday against the Bears, and Zach, we'll be loading the chamber again here to bet the Packers on the road in Atlanta coming up in week 2. Ritter me this. Who would you rather have as your quarterback in a pick 'em game? Desmond Ritter or Jordan Love? Ain't no other player could take his spot. Jordan Love.
Oh, love it, love it, love it. Nick Costas is going to be fun all throughout the season. Enjoy Las Vegas, even though it doesn't seem like you're enjoying Las Vegas. Stop.
I've been here for 6 days.
Enough's enough. Oh, I'll play my small violin for you. Give me a break here. I'll swap with you. Next time you go to Vegas, you can come to New York. We'll let you chill here in the studios. I'll just go to Vegas and we'll party it up with Ken Barkley.
Sounds good. It sounds good. And you come here, you stay in Vegas for 7 days, and you tell me how you like it. But it's great to be on with you. Excited to do it all season. Wishing you and all your great listeners, Zach, minimal sweats, winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
There he is. How about that? Nick Costos getting a round of applause here on CBS Sports Radio. I love that guy. He's awesome. And he isn't wrong. I didn't realize it was that long of a time that he was in Vegas. You're in Vegas for 6-7 days. Oh, that is tough. It is tough, even though we were having some fun at his expense. Like, Hickey, when we went out there, we were there for the draft, right? We flew in on a Wednesday, and then we were out by Saturday, and I thought that was perfect time. And we didn't even, did a little partying, a little fun, things like that, but we weren't going like full send, clubs, buffets, all that stuff like you usually do when you go to Las Vegas, pool parties, all that great jazz. After 3 days in Vegas, it definitely can be tough.
A long weekend, Friday to Monday, maybe Thursday night to Monday. Anything other than that, yeah, you're pushing it.
Well, when I was at the blackjack table until like 3-4 in the morning, Hickey was tapping out at like 11 or 12. We didn't see you. Went right to that bedroom and wanted to sleep.
I'm not a big Vegas guy. So, yeah, that's – I will say Saturday morning flight, I was ready to go.
You were leaving on a jet plane. You really don't know when you'll be back again. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. Who had the worst showing of the weekend? We'll get into that when we return. But first up with the latest CBS Sports Radio update, a man who's wearing a shirt of a team that did have a bad showing this weekend, the Wisconsin Badgers. Ack, what's up with this shirt today?
Match the shorts.
You didn't think to yourself, because Ack is on national TV doing the updates for the Jim Rome show. I did search you today on Twitter to see what people were saying about you.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people upset with the Wisconsin shirt, asking you how did it work out this weekend.
No way. I didn't see that. I'll have to do that. I don't really search these things. But
No.
I like Luke Fickle. Very nice guy. He was always good to me with Ion College Football. So, you know, I got to give him some support there.
So you could relate, since all those years you did Ion College Football and then Ion Football.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like Evan Roberts down the hall asked me this when I do the 8-hour show on Sundays. Mm-hmm. I don't get tired during the show.
After.
But once you leave, I've never left the show, Monday through Friday, this 4-hour show, feeling like exhausted. I eat dinner, and then my brain is just fried after doing 8 straight hours.
Oh, I remember the times I'd come home, whether it was Saturday, doing Ion College Football or Ion Football, like, 10 o'clock. They're just guys running around on the TV. You have no idea what's going on.
And there was no load management for ACK back in the day. You would go right from Saturday. Was that also 8 hours?
That was 8 hours too, yeah.
And then right into Sunday of 8 hours.
Yeah.
Man, that's one of the, that's Radio Hall of Fame stuff right there, ACK.
I don't know. They won't take me.
I may have to complain to some people to get you in the hall.
I'm finding no social media mentions about the shirt.
Oh, well, I'll show you. I have about 15 of them. I'll show you them during the break.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So whenever you have surprises in week one, right, you could praise the team that wins, which we've done, or you could really examine the teams that have lost. And when you get to these four matchups from yesterday, you had the 49ers going up against the Steelers, you had the Seahawks going up against the Rams, the Browns going up against the Bengals, and the Dallas Cowboys going up against the Giants. Like, let's just, for a second, when we look at those games, think about how we thought about them going in. Hickey, 49ers and Steelers going into the game, who did you think was going to win that game?
49ers.
And I was someone that thought the Steelers were going to be alive and win the game outright. But that game wasn't even close. But if you look at it from the Steelers' side, yes, it's embarrassing that you got blown out. But the 49ers, even though a lot of people were hot on the Steelers, we all know are a better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. When you looked at the Seahawks and the Rams, I would have never seen a way that the Rams would have won that game. I know they have McVay. I know they have Donald. I know they have Stafford. But they didn't have Cooper Kupp. We're looking at Puka Nacua and Tutu Atwell at a BYU, and I think Tutu Atwell played at Louisville, if memory serves me right. Those guys put that 100 yards for the Seattle young up-and-coming secondary, and then on offense with all the weapons they have. I know the offensive line injuries play into it, but that was an embarrassing loss yesterday for the Seattle Seahawks. And then for the Bengals and the Giants, I thought I laid the 3.5 points with the Cowboys, but the Giants didn't even show up. And you look at the Bengals and the Browns game, I know the Browns had the Bengals number, but for Cincinnati to only put up 3 points, that's inconceivable. So when you kind of look at those games, how you felt, and then the way that they played out, which one to you, Hickey, out of those four teams, Steelers, Seahawks, Bengals, Giants, which team out of those four ended up having the worst showing on Sunday?
Has to be the Seahawks. For the reasons you laid out, it's a top-heavy team without your best receiver, and you come in with, again, with a good defense, a lot of skill weapons, and to not get a stop on defense, Geno Smith looked like old Geno Smith again. You, in division, unless to a division game, you can't have that. You cannot have that, and they laid an egg. Big time.
Why not, just wondering, and if this is like asking, like, which disease would you rather have? I understand that. We're all talking about teams that lost and lost in embarrassing ways. But why not the Bengals here, just wondering, in your explanation?
They are a slow-starting team.
Last year, 0-2.
The weather was a factor, right? 0-2 last year. Joe Burrow, slow start in 2020, gets his rookie year in his different, you know, team then. But slow starter, Cleveland's owned him. Honestly, there are just some matchups and some teams that just own other teams inexplicably. That's where I kind of chalked up where I thought the Bengals would win the game, to be honest. But I thought it'd be one of those tricky ones. Not surprised to see Joe Burrow, who's always had fits against the Browns, continue to have those fits, especially in the rain, without being at training camp for 6 weeks.
You know who also took a massive L yesterday in that game? How about Ja'Marr Chase? Ja'Marr Chase, not only going into the game, was talking smack. Did you hear his reaction after the game, Hickey? I think we do have that audio, if we could play a little bit of Ja'Marr Chase.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my new podcast, Search Engine. On Search Engine, we tackle the kinds of questions that keep you up at night. Like, why are drug dealers putting fentanyl in everything? Should we be worried that Elon Musk believes that we're living in a simulation? And, for the love of God, is it actually unsafe to drink the coffee on airplanes? On Search Engine, no question is too big and no question is too small. Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing.
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
After the game, but Ja'Marr Chase then doubling back down on this whole, oh, I thought they were the elves and, you know, Cleveland is Cleveland. Talk about someone that's tone deaf and someone that I love in Ja'Marr Chase. You talk all that crap going in and then they kick your team's ass and you still say this after the game.
It's frustrating because I called the ass elves and we just lost to some elves. So I'm pissed on my part. I'm pissed on Aaron that. And like I said, man, we got missed opportunities. We didn't capitalize on that shit and we lost. So that's how we lost.
So here's my problem with it. He acknowledges, of course, oh, I called them the elves and then we played that way. So he acknowledged that they played like crap. But why even bring up the elves thing again? That to me is the part of this, Hickey, that made no sense. And it still is just marinated that he has no respect for the Cleveland Browns when you're even willing to go back to calling him that.
I actually have more respect for him for acknowledging it. Again, how many times do we have players or coaches pretend to not remember, oh, it was taken out of context, I didn't really mean it.
Or not even address the media afterwards.
Right. Or, right, exactly right. Okay. Just pretend you have no idea what you're... I at least respect that he acknowledged it. And in a way, after getting your ass kicked, double down, knowing they'll play them again, basically said, yeah, we lost a bunch of elves, to almost, again, undermine and make the loss look even worse than it already was. I like that approach.
You make a fine argument. Because you do have to play them again, and who knows what that game's going to mean. It's the final week of the season when you go back up against Cleveland. I think I would have just done the, we got embarrassed, we sucked, we were terrible, and I ran my mouth before the game, and I looked like a moron. Like, I would have just done something like that. Just bringing up the elves part again, when I heard it in the moment yesterday through the marathon of the 8 hours of Ion Football, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So now let's take this conversation one step further. We talked about those four embarrassing losses. Steelers getting blown out by the Niners. Seahawks getting blown out by the Rams. Bengals getting blown out by the Browns. And the Cowboys blowing out the Giants. Moving forward, big picture here, because I do agree with you. The Bengals, they get the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes you just struggle with the team. And we saw that the Bengals last year get off to an 0-2 start, coming off a Super Bowl loss, 0-2 start. They still get back to an AFC title game. I don't think the Bengals long-term are this great concern. But when you look at those four teams, Steelers, Seahawks, Bengals, and Giants, which one are you most concerned with?
I am torn between the Seahawks and Steelers. I will say the Steelers, just because there was a lot of hype for Pittsburgh, and they do have some nice weapons offensively, but their offensive line is not very good. And you look at Kenny Pickett, it's not like Kenny Pickett has played well really at all during his NFL career as a starter. I know it's been a very small sample size.
It was solid down the stretch last year.
His teams have averaged like 17 points a game when he's been quarterback and started the game and finished the game. It's not like he's let it up. And I don't
but
know.
But he looked
just
the part at the end of the season last year, the last four or five games.
But it's like even in that sample size, was he actually that good? Not really. And so there's a lot of hype going into this season. It didn't help that they scored, I believe it was a touchdown on every single drive in the preseason that they played. I think it was five drives, five TDs, I believe, over the course of three games in the preseason, which only added to the hype machine getting a lot worse. And the reality is, again, if you can't block, which the offensive line for the Steelers is not good whatsoever, you have no chance. And Kenny Pickett, again, selling to me has a lot to prove. I think the Steelers were a team that was crowned too early. I think they got exposed, and I don't think this is going to be one of those, week one flukes where they're back and better than ever.
Did we ever find out what happened to Deontay Johnson yesterday? I know he had a hamstring injury and left the game. I remember watching it. Did we get any clarity?
I've not seen any update on him since leaving, no.
So let me preface it by saying I hope he's okay, and I hope that he's able to get back on the field real soon. I think those two wide receivers, that's going to be a major storyline this year, Pickens and Johnson, in terms of how are they going to handle working together, how are they going to handle if the ball goes more to one way to another player. And I'm just fascinated to see two guys that have big personalities too and aren't afraid to speak what's on their mind, how they're going to handle if this team does get off to a little bit of a slow start, Hickey.
And the one thing I'll say, Mike Tomlin's done an A-plus job at handling wide receiver drama.
He did have to deal with AB.
Antonio Brown, not too much, but Juju Smith-Schuster was more innocent with TikTok and stuff like that. Chase Claypool as well, kind of running his mouth. Mike Tomlin has at least had plenty of experience in how to deal with the diva wide receivers. So if that does, divert this year or devolve, I should say, this year into that, at least he has a playbook on it.
Well, the reason I said that is, and obviously you bring up a great point with Antonio Brown, but I saw something yesterday that George Pickens was liking some anti-Kenny Pickett comment on social media, and I think he downplayed it today when he was asked about it, talking about the whole Jamar Chase thing in terms of how many people usually sidestep that. And I just remember Colin Dunlap, who hosts radio in Pittsburgh, said, watch out for that relationship with Pickens and Deontay Johnson, because it will eventually explode. And to just see after one game, a little bit of it, a small, minuscule chunk of the pie start to unravel, it just made me think back to that.
Now that would be, boy, you tell Mike Tomlin, wonder what you're doing wrong. New wide receivers, a ton, still same drama every year.
Put it this way, I would not, if there's one coach in the NFL I would not want to annoy, it is Mike Tomlin. He will give you a stern talking to, no doubt about that. My answer, team I'm most concerned about long-term, I'm not concerned about the Seahawks, even though yesterday was embarrassing. I'm not concerned about the Bengals. I actually think it's the Giants. I said going into the year, I did not pick the Steelers to make the playoffs. I thought the Steelers would be okay. I didn't think they'd ever be really good. But I expected the Giants to regress. Daniel Jones, I think the jury's still out on him. He showed that he could be better last year. The wide receivers are a massive question mark. They're relying on Jalen Hyatt to be a stud early on. You know how tricky that could be. Saquon is always an injury concern. And as much as I love Darren Waller's story, you know, Darren Waller pops up with an injury that ends up playing the other night. When he's on the field, he's awesome. But the problem is, he's rarely on the field. I think last year the Giants overachieved, and since they overachieved, they're not going to fall flat on their face, but I do think they take a step back this year. But, man, what an embarrassing and just putrid and lethargic performance that was last night up against the Cowboys. We were all hoping it would be a game to give us something to watch on Sunday Night Football. Well, come on back. We'll do a little news brief. We'll play some audio. We'll talk about some of the biggest stories in the world of sports, and we return to the Zach Gelb Show in 5 minutes.